All right. I'm still recovering, guys. So just stand with me in prayer. You know, there's one thing that above anything right now, above anything in the world, you know what I wish I could have right now? My complete eyesight so I could see your face, really. I didn't realize how much the Lord wants me to love my brothers above anything, because it goes hand in hand with loving him. If I had one choice, if Jesus came before me right now and asked me, what would you have me to do for your son? I said that I could see my brothers and sisters' face in clarity right now. But hey, it's coming. Why? Because actually it's done. I just got to believe it's done. That's really, it all boils. It's never the fault of God the Father. Never, never. It's never his fault. Never. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, ever in cap locks. It is never his fault. I do believe it's all by grace, but it's by grace through love. I do believe it's all by grace. I believe grace is a finished product, but it's by grace coupled with lifestyle of how you love people. I can prove it through Galatians. Galatians and Ephesians have been opening up to me tremendously. I can prove it. It is by grace, but it's by grace coupled by lifestyle. That's why I say that we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He said the fruits of the Spirit are love. The fruits of a born-again man is love, joy, peace. Those are the fruits of the Spirit of a man that's born again. If we live in the Spirit, if we're born again, we must also walk according to the Spirit, walking in the love of the Almighty God. We can't be born-again believers. This is the thing. It is all by grace, absolutely. But you can be a born-again believer and never receive a healing from Jesus Christ, because you can be a born-again believer that lives in the Spirit that still walks according to the works of the flesh. You'll never receive anything from God. You'll never receive anything from the Father. And before you amen me, you better wait till I get done today. Because I'm gonna offer you something today that in just the last 2 weeks has opened up to me in the book of 1 John. I mean, after all these years, maybe hundreds, maybe over 1,000 times that I've gone over 1 John, I really want you to pay attention the best that you can today. Because this is going to enlighten you. I've never heard, when I started getting a hold of it, I cried. And it's regarding my friends, my brothers, and my sisters. Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm not glorifying anything, but I can't open up my Bible because I can't quite yet read the pages. I can read my iPhone, but I'm not going to preach reading my iPhone. I'm not going to do it. But it's in here. I've gone through it so much that I remember it. Psalms 18, real quick. Well, I'm going to talk about the old. Then we're going to go into the new. Psalms 18. Our forefather David, the victorious one, the giant slayer. And I'm going to go through this real quick. Then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. And we might stop at 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 19, maybe. But for sure, Psalms 18 and then 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. What are we after here? We're after the love of God. Really, that's all it boils down to, is the love of God. If we can't love each other, then this walk is vanity. David wrote, as for God, we're going to talk about the old for about 5 minutes, then we're going to go into the new. David wrote in Psalms 18, as for God, his way is perfect. Duh. Thank you, David. As for God, his way is perfect. Some of you might have heard this before. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. David wrote, this was the secret to every psalm that we get excited about, Psalms 3, every other psalm that we love so much that brings us to tears and brings us comfort, every other psalm is vanity till we learn to fulfill, as an old covenant saint, Psalms 18. Because Psalms 18, see, God's love isn't based on how, God can't love me and you any more than what he does. But his reward, his recompense, is based on our lifestyle. But I don't care, I won't argue with you about that. It was in the old, and it is in the new. You can't live your life and say it's just by grace and live your life the way you want to live and expect to receive the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not biblical. That's heresy. In the old, God's love was based on who he was, not on what we did. But David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. He says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have wickedly not departed from my God. He said, for all his precepts were before me. He said, everything was before me. And everything that was in me, I kept because I wanted to honor my God. But he said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. So as a teacher, I tried to establish, what's his way that's perfect? Well, he said in the very next part of that verse, he said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Well, David, what's God's way that's perfect? He just said it underneath it. He said, the word of the Lord is tried. His word is perfect. Not one blemish. Holy and undefiled. Pure than the purest of gold. David said, as for God, his way is perfect. Okay, David, what's God's way that's perfect? His word. His word is perfect. He said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler, a shield to all those that trust in him. David wrote out of victory, Psalms 18. He wrote it after he had defeated all of his enemies. He gave us his secret to success. Before he wrote that part in 18, he said, the Lord rewarded me according, because I had clean hands to an extent. We know when he did wrong, he was punished. He said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He said, according to the cleanness of my hands as he recompensed me. He said, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Then he said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. His word is his way that's perfect. Then he said, he is a shield to all those that trust in him. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, pure than the purest of gold. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. A shield to all those that trust in him. We establish through God's word that his way is perfect. We establish that his word is perfect. Now we got to establish what part of him I trust to have him become my shield. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure, it's tried. He is a shield to all those that trust in him. Again, I go back, and I sound redundant for a reason. I believe in saying the same thing till you get it. I will not go to something else next week if you don't get what I preached the week before. That says the kind of teacher I am. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. His word that's holy and undefiled is what's perfect. He said, he is a shield to all those that trust in him. Well, what part of God am I to trust to make him my shield? He said it in simplicity. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. His word is perfect. He is a shield to all those that trust in him. Trusting God is not a remembrance of scripture. Trusting God is not a religious cliche. Trusting God are not tears at the altar. Trusting God is not an emotion. Trusting God is for me and you do what he asks us to do. For the old covenant saint, it was by obeying the Torah. For the new covenant saint, is by me and you obeying the inward witness. He said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. The part of him that I trust is his word. The part of him that's perfect is his word. I can't trust God, no matter what kind of a cliche I come up with, no matter what kind of logic I come up with, I can't trust God lest I fulfill his word. I can't have him become a shield for me lest I trust him or trust his perfect way, which is his word. It doesn't happen like that, my friends. God's blessings are not found in inconsistencies. They never have been and they never will. James calls it a double-minded man that receives nothing of the Lord. because you know to, that's why he said double-minded, because you know to do right, but you choose to do wrong. You as in the corporate body of Christ. But David said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. The part of God that I trust is his word. His word is perfect. And when I trust his word that's perfect, he said, I'm guaranteed that he is a shield about me. Friends, we can't lose. We can't lose. Think about it. He said in the beginning of Psalms 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. That was the key to David's victories. He loved God the best that he could. Outside of a born-again spirit, he gave it all he had. But the secret in the old dispensation was, he said, I dwell in the house of God. It wasn't a physical tabernacle that he dwelt in. It was at times, but dwelling in the house of God or dwelling in his sanctuary or dwelling in the tabernacle was not a physical place. It was an old covenant standing. You are Jehovah God, and I trust in your word. I trust in your Torah. That was an old covenant dwelling in the house of God. It wasn't a physical tabernacle, though it was at times, but in essence has been taken way out of context for years. People think you have to go into a physical dwelling to worship God, which you can. But an old covenant standing, an old covenant saying was when he said at the end of Psalms 23, when he said in Psalms 23, he said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He didn't mean he's going to go into a physical tabernacle and worship God forever. He said, and I will dwell in the house all the days of my life, meaning I will believe in Jehovah God and I will keep the Torah to the last day of my life. That's what it meant to live in the house of God. That's what it meant to live in the secret place of the Almighty God, was to find that place. Jehovah, you are God. I choose to abide by the Torah, by the first five books of the Bible. And as I abide by what you ask me to do, there are your promises. There are your blessings. I will abide in your house forever, Lord. That's what he said in Psalms 27. There's one thing that I desire and one thing that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Again, he states, it's been taught that it's a physical tabernacle that we go into to worship God. That's not wrong, but in context, he's saying is, you are Jehovah. You are the Lord Sabaoth. You are that old covenant powerful God, and your standard is the Torah. Your standard is the word and everything within. I'm going to try to keep what you ask me to keep. That allows me, that makes me dwell in your house, Lord. You are Jehovah. I got the first five books. I'll deposit them. I'll live by them. I'll worship you, and I will always dwell in your sanctuary. I will always dwell in your courts. I will always dwell in your dwelling, Lord. I won't move from that. I won't deviate from what you've asked me to do because I love you. Where does that put us as new covenant saints? Well, my friends, Jesus Christ is the secret to the secret place. Jesus Christ allows me, through accepting him as my personal Lord and Savior, he allows me to dwell in the tabernacle of God, per se, shadow, old covenant teaching. Now, as a born-again believer, I fulfill that place in Christ Jesus and in nothing more. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, meaning you are Jehovah. The standard that we live by is your law, the Torah. New covenant believer, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. The standard that we live by is the inner witness, my friends. It is the inner witness. Pastor Bronk told me, and I love Pastor Bronk, as we all do, because when something happens, he don't feel sorry for you. You know what? Please, don't ever feel sorry for me. Hey, my friends, I'm about as good as I've ever been. I know some of you say it with sincerity, but don't feel sorry for me, because it's just a matter of time. Because it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Why are you so confident? Because he said that Jesus bore my sickness and he carried my pains. Because he said that the Lord sent Jesus Christ to redeem me from the curse of the law. I'm not condemned because he was condemned. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If I have not yet, it's because I believe not. Somebody said a while back, we were having a good conversation at my house, and that person spoke it with good intent. He said, something's missing. Yeah, something's missing. The removal of our flesh. Doubt and unbelief is missing. That's what's missing. That's why we don't have this outpouring yet. Yeah, you're right. You know that, my brother. Something is missing. The removal of ourself. Getting out of the way between us and God. That's what's missing. The fact that we just don't believe the scriptures yet. Like my friend Delia said last week, God's not stuck. He's not. We are, but we're on our way out of that. We're locking up the hubs on the 4x4 when we're coming out of that mud hole. We're coming out. Mavis said amen to that. I heard Mavis. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Homer. Amen. Got to lock the hubs, man. Put it in 4-low and get out of that mud hole. I don't know where that came from. I'm far from being a redneck. Yeah, I let the pit bulls loose sometimes and get that hog. I don't know where that came from. But we dwell in the house of the Lord. And you know what the essence of that house is? 4-letter word. Love. God doesn't walk in love. God what?
He is love.
He is love. So to dwell in his tabernacle, to dwell in his house, old covenant teaching. We can use it in here. There's nothing wrong with it. I dwell in the house of God through the blood of Jesus. I can worship in the house of God. There's nothing wrong with that. When David said in Psalm 63, God, you are my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. When he wrote that, there was no physical tabernacle there. He was in the forest fighting a war. So there wasn't a physical tabernacle there. He said, the place that I look for me from, Lord, is that sacred place of my heart when I offer up praise and adoration to you. That's what it means to dwell in the tabernacle of God, to dwell out of that old covenant standing. For me and you, we dwell in the house of God through the blood of this one man named Jesus Christ. And the house that we live in, the tabernacle that we live in, is 100% agape love. David said in Psalms 18, so God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. The part of God that I trust is his word. The part of God other than what he is that's perfect is his word. He can't be imperfect. I get his blessings. I get him to be a shield about me as I trust his word that's perfect. Switch over to the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. Let me ask you, you can raise your hand if you like, and you might not though. How many of you think, really, and you might be ahead of me on this, how many of you think you understand 1 John? Okay, somebody help me. How many hands are up? Okay, who's a liar? Who's a liar? No, I'm just playing. 1 John has been one of the hardest books. And you know, you hear Pastor Dave and Pastor Brian. I say it too, and I will say, get born again and read 1 John. Whew, man. Now I know why, you know, I don't have a platform, my people. I don't have a big audience. I don't have a platform. Now I can understand why these big time evangelists on TV get it confused. I'm not defending them. But now I can comprehend how they can get it confused. I don't have a PhD. I don't have a master's. I don't have nothing, but I got the Holy Ghost. And I have a prayer language that is second to none. And that prayer language just didn't come to me the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost. That prayer language is a part of my everyday life. That is the only way. Listen to me. It is the only way. There's no other way. It is the only way. There's no other way. It is the only way to get true revelation, knowledge of something that's holy and undefiled. It's the only way. If you want to talk to me about it after church, I won't even talk to you about it. That's how solid and concrete it is in me. There's no other way. Yes, you can read the Bible and memorize a few verses and get a free lollipop in Sunday school class. But that's not revelation knowledge. How do you know? Because the church has done it for 2,000 years. We've done it. Had I not known what I know now, I would be dead, my friends. I'd be dead. D-E-A-D, playing bingo with my mother in heaven. Bingo, mijo. White people don't know what I mean by that. We play the real bingo with frijoles, esquina. What did he say? Esquina, what is that? Where was I? Playing bingo. Hallelujah. I know where I was at. I'm just playing. No, I'm not. I'm trying to remember where I was and playing it off. Now, I was saying, I know why the big time teachers, and I mean, I'm nobody. I'm just a part time gas man, part time preacher. What makes me different from anybody else? Nothing. I just know the Bible a little bit more than the average person. That's all. That's all. But I'm called to be a dead man, though, to be mortified to the things of this world, the very thing that I'm set out to do. More than ever. More than ever. But I can relate and somehow feel a little bit of sympathy for the big-time teachers on TV. Pastor Omar, what makes you think that you're right? You're not on TBN or whatever. I don't even know what the channels are. You're not on TV. You're right. I'm in a Mockley. But I'm alive. But I'm alive. So were they, and they got millions. Good point. Great point. But I got peace. I got an understanding who the Lamb of God is. And I'll live with that the rest of my life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. Let me rewind a little bit. Let me give you a hint to break 1 John a little bit. He talks about really two sets of people. From chapter 1 to chapter 2 through verse 9, he is talking to a born-again believer. Either it's verse 9 or 19 of chapter 2. I think it's 19 or 9. Then he starts talking about the spirit of Antichrist. When he talks about the born-again believer in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's saying if you don't walk in love, see, this is where they get it confused, and it's easy to get it confused. But if you don't walk in love, he said, then you walk in hate. He says in chapter 1 to born-again believers, see, if you don't walk in love, and you walk in hate. So automatically our mind will switch to a born-again believer can't walk in hate. He didn't say that the one that didn't walk in love was a murderer and did not have eternal life abiding in him. He said he walks in hate. He told the Antichrist that walked in hate, he said, you walk in hate because you don't have eternal life abiding in you. You got to know how to tell when he's addressing the spirit of Antichrist or when he's addressing the spirit of a man that's born again, not walking according to the inward witness. You got to discern it. If not, you'll get it confused. He would never tell a person with the spirit of Antichrist. The person with the spirit of Antichrist is not that man that we're waiting to come to sit in what Daniel spoke about. A spirit of Antichrist is a doctrine that opposes the doctrine that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Make no mistake. He would never tell a person that walked in the spirit of Antichrist to obey his commandments, plural. Why? Because they hadn't obeyed the first commandment, which is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He would never tell an unregenerate person, you need to walk in the commandments of God. Why? Because they're incapable. Because the commandments of God don't live inside of them because they oppose the true God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they're incapable of keeping his commandments because they don't have his commandments inside of them because they haven't obeyed the first commandment, which is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of the universe. See, he would never tell a person with the Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist, that he would never tell him, but he would tell me and you that. Harry, Homer, Mavis, Amber, obey my commandments. Why? Because his commandments live inside of me and you because we've obeyed the first commandment, singular. Be born again, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. Boom, instantaneously, his commandments were deposited inside of my human spirit. So he's going to ask me and you to keep his commandments because we're born again. What do you think he's going to preach to a person of Antichrist? Is he going to say, keep my commandments? Or, hey, buddy, keep my commandments, singular, be born again. going to tell the person with the spirit of error, spirit of Antichrist. So try to get them born again first. They can't keep his commandments. They haven't kept the first commandment. So here we go. This is what the Lord began to show me. And I'm speaking corporately here. I might say things this morning that some of you are going through. I'm going to say things this morning that I've gone through. It is not by design to offend anybody. This is the way the Holy Ghost showed me. And you can answer the question if you would like. Me and Pastor Bronk talked about it the other day and he loved it. Who, when I say we, I mean the corporate body of Christ. A lot of times when preachers say something, chances are somebody in the congregation is going through it. That doesn't mean we brainstorm throughout the night to offend you. It just happened to be that what we said you were going through. So please, if I see you stand up, if I see you cock your arm back, I'm hiding behind this pool. I don't want to get hit. Don't stone me. This is just the way the Holy Ghost showed me. Who do we, and it's not a trick question. Whatever comes to your mind, the first thing that comes to your mind, answer it. Who do we walk in strife against? You don't know? People. Our brothers. Our enemies. I asked somebody that question the other day. I said, who do we walk in strife against? The brother in the church. You know what? She nailed it. Because that's who we usually walk in strife with, against the brothers in the church. Our problem usually isn't the enemy. Enemies, unregenerate people. It's usually people in the church. Isn't that sad? So who do we walk in strife against? People. Who do we offend? Who do we talk about? Who do we backbite against? Who do we gossip against? Who do we dislike? Who do we fornicate with? Who do we commit adultery with? Whose wives or husbands do we try to take? Who do we divorce? And I'm saying all this for a reason now. All this for a reason. Trust me, you're going to like it. Who do we divorce? Who do we lust after? Whose things do we covet? People. 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 Who don't we like hanging around with sometimes? Who don't we like hanging around a lot of times? Remember that now. This is critical. This is critical. This is critical. Let me tell you one thing. I've done it for years. Not wanting to hang around your brothers and sisters is not normal. You're hearing a devil. Here we go. I'm going to prove it to you by the word. I can literally tell you who you can invite to your house and won't come over time and time again. It's amazing how Paul said to depart and to be with Christ is a great thing. But listen to this. He walked closer to the mind of Christ than anybody that ever lived. He said, for me to depart and be with Christ is a good thing, but to stay in the flesh is needful for you. If I had a choice in the next minute to go and depart with Jesus to leave you alone, I'd tell my wife what money I owed. I'd tell her how much life insurance I have, and I'd kiss her. I'd say, bye. I'm going to go entertain the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Elijah, Julie, you're going to be okay. I'm out. But he gave up the glories of heaven for who? No, not for God. For people. He could have gone and beheld the Lamb of God and received his crown from Jesus Christ personally. But he chose to stay here for people. For people. In his follow-up letters, he was responsible for 2/3 of the new covenant. He often mentioned, beloved, my beloved, people, people. So we think we walk in love and the love of God. And some of us do. Some of us more than others. But there's a reason that 1 John wrote the first 1.5 chapters to born-again believers. And at times he addressed the spirit of Antichrist and he went back and talked about born-again people. Do you know that what follows a person with the spirit of Antichrist? What kind of fruit do they walk in? sin. The very things that I named to you is a fruit that a person walks in that has the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is what chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 John is what we walk in. So what if a Christian, and I'm going to get to the point in a little bit. So what if a Christian walks opposing the love of God? In essence, a person with the spirit of Antichrist walks according to the flesh. Everything that you can think of, that's what he walks after. But what do you do when a born-again believer walks in the fruits of a person that's an Antichrist? Think about it now. What's the difference in the eyes of society? What's the difference? There really isn't. Only that we got forgiveness and they don't, because they've disannulled the true teaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we're going to define love. I know I've talked on love before. We're going to take it one step further today. You've answered every question that I asked you regarding sin. And we all came up with the same conclusion. People. We established that Paul said to depart and be with Christ is a great gain to me, but to stay in the flesh is more needful for you, my people. He said, I want to train you, I want to edify you, I want to exhort you in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. But Paul said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, he said, by this we know. Before you amen, you better be quiet, just be patient. By this we know that we love the children of God. Can somebody finish that verse for me? Okay. By this we know. Who's he talking to? He says, by this we know. Is he talking to the spirit of Antichrist, or are you talking to a born-again believer? Exactly right. By this we, the beloved, the brethren, little children, by this we know, by this we know, those of us that whose candle has been lit, those of us who have been born again, this is how we know that we love the children of God. This is how I know that I love people. The people that sin against us, the people that we co-labor with, the people that we live with, the people that we see, the people of different colors. That's a touchy one there. I'm not prejudiced, but, you know, black, no Mexican, you're racist. You're racist. By the way, guys, Jesus isn't Mexican or white, he's a Jew. If you're racist, you might want to repent, because he's a Jew. I can just see Jesus with a big old Mexican sombrero. You're racist. Make no mistake, you're racist. He said, by this we know, the beloved, this is how we know. Everybody here tonight, this is how we know that we love the children of God. Okay, I got that. Then he looks like he changed the subject a little bit. But stay with me here. This is going to help you tremendously. This is going to keep you from talking bad about somebody when you get out of church today. This is how we know the beloved, the born-again believer. This is how we know that we love the children of God. Okay, as a teacher, I asked the Lord and I prayed out those mysteries in tongues and I read 1 John over. I went over chapter 5, 10, 15 times over and over again. By this we know, Amber, that we love the children of God. This is how I know that I love you. Before it's been, I've judged it when I see a person display a tremendous form of worship. Oh my God, they're such a loving person. I think we've all done, and we see somebody with an awesome display of worship that gives everybody hugs. But you know what, you can give somebody a hug, you can display worship and still stab somebody in the back. That's evident. That's happened throughout the church throughout the last 2,000 years. So that's not love. It might be a fruit of love, but that's not love. By this, we know this is what we're after. What is the true love of God in context? And I know I've touched on it before, but this is a little deeper today. By this, we know that we love the children of God. This is how we know, the beloved, that we love the children of God. Okay, I established that. Okay, Lord, I'm trying to figure out how I know that I love the children of God. Then he went on to say, when we love God and keep his commandments. Wait a minute, John. I'm trying to establish how I know that I love people. What's that got to do with God or his commandments? What? I know. I'm trying to find out how I know that I love Amber, that I love Harry, that I love Gabe, that I love Marty. that I love Sister LeBron. I'm trying to figure out, because it says this is how we know that we love the children of God. Then he seems to go and switch it on us a little bit. When we love God, okay, so if I can prove that I love God and keep his commandments, if I can prove that I'm trying to decide, Lord, what does it mean to love the children of God? How do I know that I love them? John says, when you love God and keep his commandments. Okay. His commandments live in, now bear with me, I'm going to teach you now. I get born again, I obey the first commandment, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. And with that commandment comes another commandment, which is his commandments live inside of me and you. I can't keep his commandments lest they live inside of me. So this is how I know that I love the children of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. When I love God. But I thought I was trying to figure out how I love my brothers and sisters. But then he says, when you love God and keep his commandments. Lord, my question was, how do I know when I love people? His answer was in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, when I love God and keep his commandments that live in me. What does what I do personally, what I keep or don't keep, what does that have to do with me loving Delia or Reuben or Harry or Alex? I'm not talking about myself, Jesus. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about how do I know that I love my brothers. I'm not worried about what I keep or what I don't keep. I'm not worried about that. My question to you, Jesus, my question to you, John, is how do I know that I love society? How do I know that I love those that persecute me? How do I know that I love those that hate me? I'm not worried about myself. I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about the commandments that you've asked me to keep. I'm not worried about that. I'm asking you a question. How do I know that I love those that persecute me? How do I know that I love my enemies? Again, one question, same answer, same mind. By this, Jesus said, will all men know that you are my disciples? We all know that verse. We amen it all the time. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you what? Have love one to another. Up to date, we've done a good job articulating love, haven't we? We've done a good job teaching about love. We've done a good job quoting love verses, Bible verses. We've done a great job. But Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love, if you have agape one to another. Unfortunately, it's not what we say. Unfortunately, it's what we do. So here we go. By this we know that we love the children of God. So I said, how? It doesn't make sense to me how loving God and keeping his commandments. Because according to the writer, he said, there's nothing else in the world that I can measure my love for you unless I love God and keep his commandments. Okay, Lord, again, you're not understanding me, Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. I want to know how I know that I love my brothers. When you love God and keep his commandments. Well, his commandments are no longer on a stone, the righteousness requirement of the law. The Ten Commandments are engrafted and engraved in my heart. The little things that I'm to do and not to do are engraved in my heart. They're in there. You said to me, that we walk in strife against who? People. We commit adultery with who? We fornicate with who? We offend against who? We talk about and hate who? We covet people's goods. It all revolves around people. It all revolves around people. By this, you will know that you love the children of God. When you love God and keep his commandments. We keep his commandments that are inside of ourselves. So I don't know how much I love people when I love you and keep your commandments. So in essence, what you're saying, John, is that I can't love you, God. I can love you in a beginning sense, meaning that I'm born again, but to carry out the love that's in me, he says, you have to keep his commandments that dwell inside of me and you. Now listen to me. Listen to this. This is the key to this whole teaching. You should be my desire. I should be your desire. Let me ask you a question. We're believing God for an outpouring. If we don't love people, what do you want the anointing for? If you can't embrace your brothers and sisters here, what do you want the anointing for? God's calling me to be a gospel entrepreneur, but I don't like people. What do you want the money for then if you don't like people? I tell you why, because you're self-exalting yourself. You're crying out revival but can't stand your brothers and sisters. You ignore your brothers and sisters, but we're crying out outpouring and revival. You, my friend, are in error. If we're not each other's first love, second love, well, no, it's first love because loving you and loving him is tied in together. Here we go. I'm called to be an entrepreneur, but I don't like people. You're called to like people first, my friend. I'm a revivalist, but there are certain people I don't like. You're not a revivalist. You're still a little child. You have the potential to be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. By this, we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. He says, I know that I love you, and it's measured on one thing and one thing alone, on how I keep his commandments live inside of me. I understand that now. Your commandments, what's right and what's wrong, lives inside of me. And you're telling me, John, that I'm based, that the measuring stick on how much I love people is how I keep his commandments inside of my human spirit. Okay, I got that part. But then he took it a little bit deeper. I'm born again. His commandments, what's right and what's wrong, I develop a godly conscience inside of my human spirit. My question was, how do I know that I love the children of God? I get born again. I'm a son of God in truth. Now I got to be a son of God in truth and in love. Second John, I get born again. You are the son of God. His commandments come and live inside of me. Out of curiosity, we're going to go back a little bit and I'm going to be done. Who do we dislike in life? People. Who do we talk about in life? Who do we hate in life? Whose goods do we covet? Everything revolves around people. Stephen said what Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they what? Don't hold this against them. Who was Jesus and Stephen making reference to? Paul in the book of Philippians says, I'm paraphrasing, in prison, guys. But it has been known to the palace guard that my chains are in Christ. Those that persecuted him were what? People, soldiers. That he led some of them to Christ. Who do we lead to Christ? People. Who do we sin against? Who do we gossip against? Who do we despise because their skin is a little lighter and darker than ours? People. Who do we talk good about but finish the statement not by saying, but that Pablo's a great guy. But Pastor Bronk's a great guy, but I'm just going to tell you this because it's for teaching purposes, just because I love him. He's a great guy. At Miss Candy, she's a great person. Oh, she dresses so nice. She's so humble. She leads worship in a nice way. But you know what, sister? Against people, people, people. People. We've established that our sins are against people. And if they're against people, then they're against God the Father. It's what the Holy Ghost showed me. That's how we know that we love the children of God. When I love God and keep His commandments, measuring stick, the eyes of my Father, on how much I love you, is how I keep His commandments inside of me. And that's not the full revelation. I'm going to back up one more time. I'm redundant on purpose. I see it. I see it, Harry. You see, he's going to fall. No, I'm not. I see it. You answered unanimously as a body of Christ. We answered together that offenses, that we offend or we take offenses from people. Divorce, drunkenness, fornications, adultery, hatred, strife, envy, emulations, heresies, the works of the flesh. Galatians. All those are against people. My question to the Lord Jesus Christ was, how do I know that I love the children of God? And He answered through His word and through the revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Homer, your answer is when you love God and keep His commandments. Okay, Lord, that seems to be a little contradiction. I'm asking you, how do I know that I love Terry and Kirsten, Lord? He answered me, when you love God and keep His commandments. Well, we've established that I've kept the first commandment. And by keeping the first commandment singular, I've been born again. And with that born again conversion comes His commandments, right or wrong, come and live inside of me. You answered unanimously, as I answered to the Holy Ghost, that it's people who we sin against. It's people who we walk in strife against. It's people who we talk about, people who we gossip about. It's people who we hate, people. Jesus said it up to His last breath, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Stephen said, don't hold this account against Him, against people. Paul said, I want to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh for you. It's needful for you. People. Before you exalt somebody and tell somebody how much love somebody walks in, you better know the scriptures of what true agape. Now, we can phileo one another. We can love each other in a humanistic kind of way. We can walk in false pretense and in false humility, and people can think that we walk in love. Oh, God bless you. No. That's false humility. Now, that's a fruit of love. I'll give you that. A hug is a fruit of love, but I've been hugged before and stabbed in the back the same time. So what is the love of God? That's what we're after. What does it mean to walk in the true agape of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm almost there. It's not the norm, I can tell you that. It's not what's been taught for 2,000 years. And it's not what I've taught before. It is to an extent, but I got it a little bit deeper now. Either I'm born or you're ready to find out what I'm going to make reference to. I think Gay heard it the other day when I was talking to Pastor. You better not say nothing, Gay, if you heard me. I think she heard me when I told Pastor. By this we know that we love the children of God, Amber. You mean, Amber, if you're hungry and I give you $10 to buy a hamburger, I'm walking in love? Well, yes and no. I can still buy her a hamburger and hate the person on this side. I can still buy her a hamburger and tell the whole world she was broken and I fed her. So we're going to rule that out as love. Now, sometimes it is an instruction from the Holy Ghost to give to our brothers. Absolutely. I'm not disannulling that. But we're after the love of God, the agape of God. We're looking to be complete as God is complete. Love Him without partiality. Love Him without hypocrisy. Here we go. Y'all ready? By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments, He's talking to the born-again believer. It says in 2 John real quick that Jesus Christ was the Son of the Father in truth and what? Love. But her instruction in 2 John to the believers, to a small group of believers, was, I hear that you walk in truth, but I want you to walk in truth and in love. Jesus is the Son of the Father in truth and in love. So if Jesus was the Son of the Father in truth and in love, then guess who else should be the Son of the Father in truth and in love? She gave them an instruction. And this is love, she said in 2 John, that we walk after his commandments. Here we go. I'm there for real. By this we know that we love the children of God. Here we go for real. When we love God and keep his commandments. His commandments that we receive upon the day of regeneration, when we get born again. You established who we offend. You established, as I established, who we walk in strife against. You established and I established who we can't stand. You established and I established who we hate, who we talk about, who we fornicate with, who we commit adultery with. You established and I established who we sin against. People, 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 people. Stephen and Jesus forgave people. Paul turned down a golden opportunity to behold Jesus, to stay here and to edify people. People, 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 people. By this, well, you know, Homer, that you love the children of God when you love God and keep his commandments. Okay, my friends, you said again that it's people who we sin against. Jesus said, this is how you know that you love the children of God. When you love God and keep his commandments. So if I don't keep his commandments, then I don't love God. And if I don't love God, then I don't love people. So what is it? What does it mean for me to walk in the love of God? His commandments live inside of me and you. We know that. We establish that. Okay, who do you think? Who do you think? Who do I think asked me not to walk in strife? Who? God the Father, the commandment of Jesus Christ. The commandment originated with the Holy Ghost out of my spirit. For me, to love you is nothing more than to obey the instruction of God about you. Because everything that comes out of my spirit is about people. If I can't keep the inner witness, if I can't keep what's right daily, my friend, I'm disannulled as walking in the love of God. He's the one that asked me out of my spirit not to do it. Regarding people. He asked me out of my spirit not to fornicate. Regarding people. He asked me out of my spirit not to commit adultery with people. He asked me out of my spirit not to gossip about. He asked me out of my spirit not to walk in strife towards people. So if I consistently disannul what I know to do, then my problem isn't people. My problem is the commandment of God that lives inside of me. And in essence, the commandment of God that lives inside of me is from God. My problem is loving God, not people. The commandment inside of me is about people. Who do you think asked me to love you unconditionally? God the Father, to the instruction of the Holy Spirit living inside of my human spirit. This is how we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. His commandments inside of me are about you. So if I can't keep his commandment inside of me that's about you, then I've done nothing in the kingdom of heaven. If my joy isn't to congregate with you, something is wrong with me. If you're not my joy, then something is wrong with me. In essence, in the natural, some of you have personalities that I don't like. I got a personality that some of you don't like. That just, if you got a personality that I don't like, who's got the problem? Me. If you don't like my personality, I got a problem. But if my personality bothers you, you got just as much as I got. the commandment of God originates with the Holy Spirit regarding people. See, if I don't like you, you're not my problem, Amber. The measuring stick to how much I love people is how much I love God. And the measuring stick to how much I love God is how much I keep his commandments. And that's just, my friend, they're all tied up in one. You can't have one without the other. So if you offend me, you're not my problem. My problem is the commandment of God the Father, and it originates with him. My problem is him. My problem is lack of loving God the Father. So we ought to look forward, in closing, to the next time that somebody offends us, so that we can extend the blood of Jesus towards that person. People are going to mistreat you, especially in the kingdom of God. So it's not how well I preach or teach or articulate that determines who I am in the eyes of God the Father. God loves me unconditionally. This is how I know that I love you, my friends. This is how I know that I love you. When I love God and keep his commandments, plural. Because his commandments inside of me are the ones that tell me, let Harry sin, go Homer. His commandment inside of me was about my brother. His commandment inside of me was, you got to forgive Amber, son. Because his commandments are about people. He goes on to say, and his commandments are not a burden to us. You know, do you know why the commandments of God inside of us? You know his commandments are not a burden to me and you? You know why? His commandments that live inside of us aren't a burden to us. Why? Because we're born of them. Because they dwell inside of our human spirit. So who is he that overcometh the world? Listen to this. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. 5 or 6 words gave me and you the empowerment to say no to the world and to say yes to God. See, before we were born again, we had a spirit, a dark spirit, that dispensed all what the world had to offer. We get born again, all that's right in God's kingdom, what's right and what's wrong lives inside of me and you. Therefore, to do right is not a burden to us because what's right lives inside of us. So those 4 gentlemen that are in the front, the instruction of God inside of me is regarding them. If I can't learn to love them and to forgive them and not to walk in strife, I have failed as a Christian. Those 4 weren't my problem. I can't stand the sight of them. I'm going to go to church and sit down and worship God, but I'm going to walk on the other side of those 4. Those 4 aren't my problem, my friends. My problem is the commandments of Jesus Christ that originate with the Holy Ghost. My friends, in case you didn't realize, the Holy Ghost is God. So in essence, my problem is not Alex, the 4 gentlemen in the front. They aren't my problem. My problem is my relationship with God the Father. That, my friend, is walking in hate. If the commandment that he gives me is all love, and it has to be because he's all love, and in comparison, if I disannul love, then I walked in hate. Those 4 gentlemen are not my problem. I'm having a problem with the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells me to love and forgive my brothers. My brothers. We cannot be partial to the inward witness. You know, one thing that broke my heart, and I couldn't talk about it then, but it broke my heart. I didn't tell my wife about it. I didn't tell Pastor Bronk about it. I kept it to myself. But through these last months, I've been purging a lot, and I can finally talk about it. You know what broke my heart a few months ago? And I can say this with a clean, clean conscience, and I'm not judging anybody, is that we had to cancel the insurance on our bus because the men of this church did not step up to drive that bus. I cried. I cried. We had to cancel the insurance on our bus and park it somewhere. That was because no one stepped up to have enough compassion in God to go around this town and to pick up kids, to bring them into this youth group, to get them discipled. I cried. I said, revival, Lord? Revival? But I'm partial to things also, and I have to get over it. Revival. Revival is when me and you don't walk in partiality, but we obey the inward witness at all times. Because God is not inconsistent. He's infallible, holy, and worthy of all praise. So loving you, my friend, how much I love you is based on how much I keep his commandments about you. See, he told me not to offend you. He told me to love you. He told me to embrace you. He told me not to talk back when you dogged me. He told me to be quiet. He told me. Jesus told me how to treat you. Jesus told me when I seen you on the street to give you refuge. He told me to break bread with you. He told me to give you drink. He told me to love you. He told me from within my human spirit. He told me. He instructed me. I can't afford to be rude with you. I can't afford to hold aught in my heart. I can't afford it because I'm disannulling the commandment of Jesus Christ inside my heart regarding you. And these last couple of minutes, my confession has changed. I confess it all the time. I say to myself throughout the day, Father, I thank you that no aught or unforgiveness lives within my heart. With no gossip, no backbiting. And I say, Father, I thank you that my mouth and my heart, they study how to answer according to the book of Proverbs. And I say to myself, Father, I thank you that my heart and my tongue, they conceal matters. There's things that I've told my wife that I had no right telling my wife. There's things that I know now that I'm to tell nobody. My confession is, God, I thank you that my heart is filled with soft answers. My confession is now, Father, I thank you that not one word against my brother and my sister, not one thought against my brother and my sister. My confession is now, Father, I thank you that I won't entertain one word, one slanderous accusation against my brother and my sister, but I will walk away from that conversation. My confession is, Father, I thank you that I'm quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man, it worketh not the righteousness of God. That is my confession. I say it throughout the day because I don't want to harbor anything inside of my spirit that contradicts the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are called to purity. We're called to not be impartial. The same way that we can line up here when a guest speaker comes, the same love and adoration, the same way we get up so and catch people when we got guest speakers here, are the same way, the same love. You don't think that God the Father asked a man or two to step up? You don't think somewhere in your human spirit that God the Father asked you in a nice way, won't you drive the bus this week? The same people that came up week in and week out when guest speakers come and got here early and served them in humility were the same ones that God the Father asked you, could you not drive that bus for my children? Same saints, same God. See, but there's not much recompense messing with kids. They can't ever tell you how good of a job you do. They can't ever see how humble we are. They can't see that. They won't say it. People have gone and left in the youth ministry. I can't make it for this reason. Well, I've seen you in church 4 or 5 days in a row. Just be honest with me up front. If I've ever done something to offend anybody, my God, I'm purging just like you, man. But the key to a true walk with God is not being partial. within our human spirit, within the commandments of God that are about people. Now, it doesn't matter about the bus, because I'm going to take a sabbatical for I don't know how long. I'm going to know when to come back and start that ministry again. I'm purging and I'm praying a lot. And until I get certain things out of my heart, is when I'm going to start back again. That on my own. There's nothing promiscuous going on. I just will not have a ministry, Terry, that's full of myself. I refuse to have a ministry full of me, full of strife and envy. I want to be a vessel that's purged. I just don't want to present words, but I want to demonstrate the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. That should be all of our desires here today. To walk as men and women of God that aren't partial, that we're willing to do anything that the Father asks us to do, even if there is a football game on Sunday, or a basketball game, or whatever it may be. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols. Homer, keep yourself from idols. He's talking collectively to all of us. So how much I love you is based on how much I keep my his commandments that live inside of me. His commandments, and I'm done, inside of me, are regarding you. If I keep what I feel like keeping, then I am partial. But if I keep what I know to keep, then I have become complete, like my Father is complete. Touching the heart of God is touching him. It's touching love. Love is what he is, not what he walks in. That's what I'm after. That's why I'm going to sit for a while. I'm going to fill in with Pastor Bronk when he asks me to, but I'm going to sit for a while. Just be a sainty saint there. Purge. Push back the meals. Lift up my hands. Fall in love with him so that I can love you and be so complete where I don't notice anything wrong with you. That is the heart of Christ, my friends, regarding each other. I want to walk in the true love of God. That's not sinning against you. If I don't sin against you, I don't sin against the commandment. If I don't sin against the commandment, I don't sin against God. If I don't sin against God, then I've displayed his agape towards you. Amen. Did you receive something from that? So loving God is obedience to his commandment inside of me and you about you. We ought to be fulfilling the first couple of chapters of Acts and be in union and communion with each other. If you don't love people, all people at all times, your ministry is vanity to God. It means nothing. You want the anointing and don't love people. Somebody said you are a self-exalted back end of a donkey, if that's the case. Hey, my mentor said that. I just repeated what he said. You're self-exalted. You want glory from men. If you want revival and you don't love people, I'd think twice about walking next to somebody that you didn't like next time and ignoring them. I'd think twice about it. Amen. Did you really, really enjoy that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. But get past the buckets out, somebody, please. Just out of curiosity, what time is it? Who? Okay. Pastor Brown's been long-winded on Wednesdays. Don't you tell him either. I said that. Man. You know, if Pastor Bronk would have been here today and I was going to preach, we get done at 1 o'clock because Pastor Bronk let somebody else preach, but he preaches inside that sermon, doesn't he? Well, here's my brother Jim Martin here, and he's my best friend, blah, blah, blah. He's going to preach for an hour before he gives that mic to Jim Martin. Right or wrong? The last time I preached till 1 o'clock because he preached before I preached. And don't you dare tell him I said that, though. So a new definition of love is really not new. It's been hidden forever. There's a nugget that came out today, friends. You're accountable. I'm accountable. Amen. So, Father, we bless you. We worship you. And we praise you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, and for the true teacher, the Holy Spirit, Lord. May we grow and be purged in you, Lord, and deny ourselves and be so full of you, Father, where every word that we speak is so full of grace and love and anointing that society will know that we do belong to you. Thank you for this seed that we're about to receive. Father, we thank you that it's sown on good ground, Lord, on good ground. And I love my brothers and my sisters, Father, and I long for that day when I can look them eyeball in the eyeball and see their beautiful face once again, Father God, and treat them how you would treat them, Father. I praise you and I worship you for it, Lord. In the mighty, holy, precious, powerful, loving name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday.